Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi Cam, put it up, man.
Damn.
Three strikes, baby.
Yeah.
Be down.
You ain't the
I said, boss,
stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's on city,
said, boss,
stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's on city,
boss,
stand up.
Stand up.
The
beat's on
city,
said, boss,
stand
up.
Stand
up.
One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home with the Celtics, the Bees, and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat them slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Tessie, y'all want Cardi. C-Dot, Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, start a riot like this. From Bath down to Soppy, Rock, Terry, Metapan, Dorchester, Somerville, with the Hills, J.B., E.C., Nancy, y'all want Cardi, Everett, Morgan, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans,
stand up, stand up,
the beans, your city,
man, stand up,
stand up,
the beans, your city,
like New York City, I'm not trying to be anyone and no man, follow no path, I take no lead, I'm just like you, mean mugging on the tee, waking up them sands that smell like tea, aggravated, frustrated, Charlie Bass and Jesse, line around the block for them Dunkin' Donuts, walking into traffic like an organ donor.
Well, welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show with Mountain Man. And we will be having a great evening this evening. A great show is lined up for this evening as well. And it is. I'm going to try to keep this as positive as I can. And welcome to everyone who is in our chat room. Thank you, Steve. And all those who I cannot see, I will try to reboot the chat room. But I'm sure you guys will come in as you see fit. But I wanted to say hello to everybody, and I do have a special guest host that is going to be coming in. We've heard him before. Papa. Sorry. But yeah, we will have him coming in. And hello to Steve. I know you're in our chat room, and. Yeah, wanted to try to see what we can do here, and because I'm running solo right this second because I'm going to be having somebody else coming in asking questions and all that, and I cannot wait to have Steve back on. He's an amazing, amazing guest, and. Max Brown will be on as well. We just have a wonderful show lined up. Excuse me, Papa Soul, that's who it is. I'm sorry, we have Papa Soul coming in as our other guest host, co-host this evening, as well as all that good stuff. As you know, Charlie's out watching a premiere of... one of our famous, a red carpet premiere, which you talked about last week. So that is why I am doing this show with somebody else this evening. If you have any, so we'll go from there. So if you have any questions, comments, queries, whatever, our call-in numbers are 1-347-989-1473, or if you incur a toll charge, you can call us at 1-877-907-7217 if you incur a toll call. You can also look listen to us on the smartphone. If you look us up on or hit the Blog Talk Radio app on your smartphone, you can also listen to us that way. You can also go to iTunes and listen to us on iTunes, or hit the little widget that we have on our face page, and you can also listen to us that way, and all that good stuff. Steve, if you can hear me, if you'd like to call in now, you may. Oh, here we go. Hold on. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. This is Mountain Man. Who's this?
How you doing? This is the Sockwell Papa Soul.
Papa Soul, how you doing, the man?
How you doing?
What's going on tonight? How's everything over there?
Oh, everything is good. I can't complain. Just glad to be on the show. How you doing?
Well, I'm not doing too bad. We got a great show lined up here, as you know. And we do appreciate you calling in there and helping us out here.
Absolutely.
And I heard that you had somebody else coming in with you tonight.
Yeah, I'm waiting on there's a band on, and I didn't have another guest. I'm just kind of assisting as a host.
Right. You're assisting me and helping me out. But I got a message that you're going to have a friend on with you.
Oh, no. It's just me today.
It's just you. Well, we're starting to line up here, which is good.
Yeah.
So, we've got you as our guest host, and then we've got the first guest, Wide Blackout.
Right.
So, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, they're a band. It looks like they got some really interesting music here. They've got a Facebook page up. Their location is at the Church of Boston, 69 Kilimanock Street in Boston. So it looks like that they're creating quite a following here, and some really interesting music. And it looks like soon enough we'll get to speak with these guys on the show.
Yeah, well, let me see who else we got. Somebody else calling in here. Let me pull this person in, and let's see if we can get the show rolling here.
All right.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. This is Mountain Man. Who's this?
This is Ramel, co-host of Citywide Blackout.
Ramel, how you doing, man? How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Not bad. So what's going on? What's happening in the world there?
Not much. We just started our radio show on the station a few months ago. We've been on for a few years on a previous station. And I think Max is going to be talking today, too. He's the main host. He started the show a couple years ago.
Yeah. And we've also got Papa Soul here, so we can all interact here.
Oh, very nice.
What's going on, my man? How's it going?
How's it going, Papa?
All right. Going good. Good. Glad to have you on the show. Glad to hear you.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Let's see if we can get the other young fellow there. So just bear with me one sec.
Yeah, definitely.
Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Max here, Max Bowen, Citywide Blackout.
Hey, Max, how you doing? Good to hear you. What's going on?
Not much, man. Hey, how's it going, man?
You got it. Glad to have you calling in. What's good?
Of course, man. Glad to be here, man. Man, it's all good, man. Glad to be on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show. What's happening? What's going on? What's the word?
Okay, well, the good word. Oh, there's a lot of good words up tonight, man. I wanted to call, talk about just about the show, about us celebrating a big 2-year anniversary next week with a really big show happening at a church in Boston.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, man.
That
yeah, man.
Awesome.
We've been doing. Yeah, yeah. See what I blackout. Something I got rolling about 2 years ago now. We started off covering the best of Boston's local music. We recently moved to a new station, got a new format. We got co-hosts now. There's been so much changes within the show, you know? And
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything changes, you know. In fact, my co-host should be calling in a minute.
I'm already here, Max.
Oh, you're already here? Okay, sorry, man. Didn't recognize the voice.
Well, we've got Papa Soul as my assistant this evening, and then
okay.
We've got you two.
All right,
so
cool,
fast.
Cool. Hey, Ramel, how goes it, man?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
All right.
If you guys could get just a little bit closer to your the mouthpieces, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you hear me better
awesome.
Now?
Yeah, I can hear you a lot better now.
All right, cool. So, why don't we just start off by talking about the big show we have coming up on the 21st?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, cool. Well, this is something happening over at our church on 69 Kilmarnock Street here. We got five really awesome bands lined up. These are five of my favorite bands, actually. This is all kicking off at 8 o'clock. Doors are going to open at 7 p.m. The $10 cover, 21-plus show. We got Hadrian's Heroes getting things rolling. We actually had them on the show 2 weeks ago. We did one of our live sets, right, Mel?
Yep, it was really awesome.
Yeah, they're just amazing stuff. So we can then start things off. Later on, we're going to have Protean Collective, Bullet Breed, Strychnine, and all the way from Florida, we got the band Rising of Bangry coming down. So it's going to be a really, really awesome show.
Wow, that is awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a good time. Ramel, man, why don't you take him here? Tell everyone what the show's about.
So the show, we cover the local entertainment scene in Boston. We've been mostly doing musical acts over the past couple of years. With a move to the new radio station, we've expanded our format to include other art forms and other forms of entertainment. We had somebody from the Big Time Wrestling on recently.
Yep.
We've had the producer and an actress in a movie, an independent film that was just released in Boston recently called Keeping Up with the Joneses. Is that right, Max? Is that the right name?
The Joneses.
Just the Joneses?
Yeah, yeah.
And this movie has gotten some critical acclaim. It just debuted at one of the independent film festivals in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a good number of musicians on. And one we're really proud of is one we had on last week, this group called Girls at Work, which is a benefit organization that helps underprivileged girls learn how to use power tools and make wooden forms of just kind of woodwork. And
that
they're having
so
a benefit
awesome.
Concert, and we had the show, the director of the program on, as well as one of the people who's going to be playing at the benefit concert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we got to talk a bit about my rather, inglorious history in woodshop class, right, Ramel?
Yeah.
My desk birdhouses. My desk birdhouses. Of course, the thing that we're really happiest about right now is our recent move to the new station, which is unregularradio.com. And if we have any readers of the Boston Phoenix out there in the audience, they were on the cover of the magazine for the week.
All right, Boston.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
now what's the name of the radio station again?
It's called unregularradio.com. Ramel, why don't you tell us all about it, man?
So unregularradio.com started a couple years ago. I think it was mostly by Greg Loftus. And it was a venue, the article that describes it that just came out today takes a very interesting approach. If you guys have seen that movie by Weird Al Yankovic called UHF,
It came out in the late 80s, early 90s. It's about a struggling, independent UHF channel TV station that doesn't do very well in the ratings, but it gives a voice to the people. That's kind of what the approach of this, the guy who wrote about the radio station describes it as, that we're giving a voice to people that don't otherwise have a voice in mainstream radio. And it's actually, it turns out that one of the shows has so many listeners that it's comparable to one of the terrestrial radio stations in town. So it's,
awesome.
Yeah, there's
that
a lot
awesome.
Of local music, local entertainment. I think there's a dating show on the station. There's the Boston Pot Report for people who are interested in seeing more policy toward legalization of marijuana.
Wow.
So that's a very popular show as well.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, and there's another show on it called, I think, Geek Talk. And that's a show that just really like appeals to me and all the other like social outcasts out there, because it's like talk about all the kinds of things that, you know, we're into, like, you know, the video games, the comics, really all kinds of stuff. It's a great show, and I think, you know, one of the things that myself and Ramel like so much about Unregular Radio is that, you know, it's just it's really a very like diverse kind of station. They have all kinds of things. And the guys who run it, Dave Crespo, John Loftus, and Dex, you know, they are very, very supportive of really anyone who has a show. They kind of show you how to work all the gear, the boards. They're always offering, like, you know, advice, and they're just very, very supportive. It's something that we really, really liked about it, because when they came to us, they said, you know, Max, Mel, we'd like to have you guys have your show here. You know, it's one of the things that we really appreciate about the fact is that they are so supportive and they have an amazing setup.
That's so great.
Sounds like you guys are doing a lot of great things. And, you know, I just want to mention how great it is when you're working with the ladies to teach them things with power tools and things like that, the way that you kind of empower people with your craft and all that it brings. I think that's really commendable. That's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're really glad to have them on the show, and you know, you're right, man. I mean, like these guys. I mean, the thing they do is, you know, reaching out to these kids who really, really need the support. It's a great thing to have. You know, we're gonna, you know, one of the things that we're really happy to do on the show is to really promote any kind of fundraiser, any kind of group like Girls at Work. You know, one of the guests we had on the show most recently was Pat Coleman. He's doing a big fundraiser event happening next Wednesday, May 18th. It's called For the Sake of the Song. And they're going to be doing Neil Young's entire album, Harvest, but it's going to be performed by all these great local musicians, Pat Coleman, Sarah Blacker, James Houlihan. And everything they raise goes towards a group called Music Drives Us. And this is a really awesome organization that really helps give musical opportunities to kids who may otherwise not get it.
Wow, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, we've one of the things that we like so much about the show is we get the chance to meet so many great professionals. You know, mostly in the music industry, but now we're getting to meet them really all other kinds of genres. You know, we've got, you know, comedians that we're going to have on the show later on. We're going to have people involved with local film, just people involved in so many different organizations, local groups that are really looking to kind of make a difference. In fact, I believe on May 21st, we're going to have the organizers of Boston Pride come on the show, talk about their event, which is happening, I believe, the week of June 3rd. You know,
they're gonna have
all kinds of like local musicians, performers, what have you, and you know, it's given a chance to really meet so many amazing people. And one thing that I think, you know, Ramel and I, Ramel, you can definitely chime in. You can definitely comment on this too. You know, the thing that we really enjoy so much is the sheer amount of dedication that everyone has.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is great. That is really great.
Yeah, I think you guys are amazing. I mean, the way that you keep it moving, the way that you're productive and everything, you guys are kind of like a big machine, you know, that everyone who comes in contact with you get a chance to be productive and become a part of the movement that you're taking part in. That's really excellent.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it really is. you know, and one of the things, and I want to actually give a quick shout out to our friend. I guess he couldn't join us today. Curtis Hughes of Plectrum Entertainment. He's kind of our on and off again co-host. He also hosts. What he does is he's all about music marketing, promotion, tour booking, show booking. So he's kind of helping. He's kind of doing kind of similar thing that we're doing, is that helping to really promote the local scene. And Curtis has been with us for about a year or so, I think. Maybe a little less. And Curtis, we do a monthly spotlight called the Plectrum Artist Series, where we spotlight a Plectrum artist and we talk a little about the business side of music. And one that we talked about most recently on last week's show was sort of the lies that social media feeds people. And yeah, it's kind of, you know, the main thing being that, you know, okay, like, let's say your page has like 5,000 friends. Well, that doesn't mean you actually have 5,000 fans. But a lot of people tend to kind of take those numbers and kind of run with it.
Right.
Definitely. Ramel, can you comment on this too? Because I know we did talk, you know, a lot about this.
Comment on the what?
About social media. I think we talked about last week.
Oh yeah, I think the goal was to. So what's also interesting is Max is also a promoter. Curtis is a promoter. I'm actually in a band myself. So quite often, Curtis and Max will have some really good tips and advice for bands who want to get heard, who want to do shows, some fabulous tips. And sometimes I come at it from the perspective of a band, like, oh, well, how would I do this? So how would I do that? So part is also kind of interesting because we have both the promoter and the artist perspective when we have these discussions.
Right. Exactly.
And we talked a little bit about social media last week, which was really interesting. I think the goal was to try to get bands to think about or to realize that just putting out a Facebook ad or an event listing for their event, getting people to sign up for it, isn't enough. That doesn't mean it's going to translate into people actually showing up for an event or a concert, that there has to be a lot more legwork done and street work done and rolling up sleeves and really trying to get people to come to your show beyond just the social media side of it.
That is awesome.
Yeah, good point, man. And actually, I want to quickly mention that Ramel is not only my co-host, and he's around since, November, Ramel?
Yeah, around November.
Yeah, okay. Ramel was actually one of my first guests on the show. He performs under the name Anti-Theory, sort of an electronic hip-hop artist. And I think you're like my second guest, Ramel, something like that.
Wow.
it's like way back. We actually met at a show at Rogies, wasn't it, man?
Yeah, I think it was Rogies. Yeah, Basement of Rogies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ramel, it was a hip hop show, and you know, it was multi kind of gangster rap, but Ramel's style, you know, I was there watching all the artists. Ramel just kind of blew me away. We talked afterwards, myself, him, and his DJ Odie, and I had him on the, you know, I interviewed him for a different show. Then I had him on the show later on, and you know, we kind of kept in touch and. We worked together on a couple other shows, and when the time came for me to say, okay, I got to get a co-host because I cannot fly solo too well, first thought that came to mind was, okay, I got to ask Ramel, because this guy, I mean, he knows music really well. He's been doing it for a long time, and he knows, like, a history, too. In fact, I think when we had you on the show, Ramel, we talked a lot about hip-hop history.
Yeah, and even just pop music history as well and how hip-hop history fits into that pop music history.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a really awesome time.
I was going to ask you guys, like, what are some of your influences also?
Well, I'm not actually a musician. I'm kind of a jack-of-all-trades music guy. I mean, I know a lot of people say it, but I listen to everything. I mean, I listen to the folk, I listen to the heavy metal, the hip-hop, the pop. So in terms of my influences, it's really just, like, everything that I listen to.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of, it's added to my repertoire, but Mel, I'm going to throw this question to you now because you obviously have the more musical influences than me.
So I'll answer that in two parts. I'll say, first off, that what Max just described is kind of the description of the music we've had on the show. It runs the gamut from rock to pop to folk to electronica to hip-hop. We've had all kinds of artists on the show, and I think that's one that's a strong point of our show, is that if it's local and it's original music, we got it covered.
Yeah.
Wow, that is
exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, Ramel, you got it dead right. I mean, we, as long as it's local, original, we got it covered. Ramel, one thing I want to ask you, I've always been meaning to ask you, who would you say has been one of our best guests? We don't say the best because we don't want to, make anyone else feel bad, but like, what do you think has been one of our best guests?
Well, I've had so much fun talking with everybody we've had on.
Yeah.
And before. In a way to not answer that question and be diplomatic.
we can definitely relate because we've had so many of our own awesome guests that there are times that we have to have them back for a second and third time ourselves.
That's true.
This show.
We definitely had our fair share of our repeat offenders. Sarah Blacker, Only a Night are a couple of the ones. I think, though, and I hope he's listening, Dave DeLuca has set the record for 6 appearances on our show, and we've talked about him when he's not there at 3 or 4 others. Yeah. He keeps on coming back. Dave DeLuca, of course, of the Americana band Highway Ghost. Actually, I think they're going to be playing on the 21st as well. And Dave's been a really awesome guest and, a big, big sort of, I guess maybe spokesperson for the local Americana scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming back. No matter how hard I try to keep him awake, he's coming back on the damn show.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it really is.
If I could just jump for a second, Max.
Oh, yes,
I think
please.
Max and I, we do always do our research. We ask really sometimes penetrating questions, but the atmosphere is very laid back, and we also joke around a lot with our guests. And it's a really fun time. I think the guests appreciate the thoroughness of the preparation in our questions, and also just being able to joke around and shoot the breeze. That's both those aspects of a seriousness, but also really fun time.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I think one of our best letters that we got from the people that we had on the show was from Adam Sienkowski of the Grown Up Noise. And in that, he talked about Ramel and I's really awesome back and forth, how we have such a great synergy as hosts, and of course, definitely Ramel, the questions. We always make sure we do our research. I think we've actually stumped some of our guests just by the fact we know all these things about them too.
Yeah. There was one band, I won't mention their name, but I read something from their Facebook post and I asked them about it. They're like, what?
You know that? Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, we don't just, one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is we don't ask questions like, oh, what are your influences? Where did the name come from? We kind of try and skirt all those really stock questions and try and get into the really, nitty-gritty, the deep stuff. And I actually work by day as a journalist, so this is kind of my, stock and trade. And, Ramel has come up with some amazing questions. He'll know things that I didn't know. I think I've got everything so well-researched. Then he comes up with something that I'm like, holy crap, I didn't even think about that.
And so what's the really deep questions that you guys get to ask and some of the responses that you get?
Ooh, I think actually one of the best things we get is when we get the couple seconds of silence because they just weren't expecting it. we really look in, we'll check out all their websites, the MySpace, the Facebook. We tend to read a little bit of everything. If they have videos, we try and watch them. Listen to the music, of course. Try and really. I think one of the things we try and shoot for is to really ask what we can't get the answers from in their MySpace and on the different websites.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I think again, just kind of backtrack a little bit. One of the best parts, one of the most things we've had, like the most fun, is the sheer diversity of people we've had on the show. You know,
yeah.
Not just in terms of the music styles, but in terms of the people styles. You know, we've had some shows that have been kind of on the serious side. Some shows that have been entirely joking. Like we had Hadrian's Heroes on. You guys want to check out that particular show file. It's up on our website, which again is Mel. Hit him with the website.
citywideblackout.blogspot.com.
That's right. That's right. And that was entirely that. That was just pure insanity for like 10 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 We were just kind of like, yeah, we had a whole lot of fun. Sorry.
We really butchered Lincoln's history in that one.
I want to say we made it better. We made it more interesting.
We've
matched
the history of Abraham Lincoln.
We enhanced his greatness. Maybe we drove a few kids to the library to kind of like find out, like, wait a minute, you guys don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Wow.
We made it feel like amateur historians because we just totally trashed his background. And thought, wait a minute, is that actually true? And I go look it up. Wait, no, it's not. No, it's not even remotely true.
I think we provided a disclaimer at the end.
That we don't actually know what how we're talking about.
Wow.
Just, you know, folks, you don't actually know what we're talking about, so don't take this, you know, verbatim, please. It's not remotely true.
No problem.
And,
a really good-looking website, too. I like the graphics. I like everything that you have set up here. It's really nice.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that actually, the logo that's actually on the site at the top of the Blogspot page, I want to give a big shout-out. That goes out to Jeff Neely of the band Bullbridge, who we're going to have at our show on the 21st. he's a graphic designer. Web Pro Images, I believe, is his company name. But if you just look up Jeff Neely on Facebook, you'll find it. And he did that design for me. He's an amazing graphic artist. So check him out. He's got some really awesome work, and his band is phenomenal. If you come down to the show, you'll see it for yourself.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Let's see. Speaking of which, actually, I want to talk about that. And, Ramel, please jump in on this. One of the things that we also do through CityWise, we also do a lot of different like show bookings as well. We've been putting together shows for about a year or so, a year and a half, at clubs all across Boston, all Asia, Church, O'Brien's. We have a show coming up at the Great Scott. We've done a show at the Precinct. Even at the Middle East, there's been shows kind of everywhere, and you know, we definitely learn something new every time we do a show. You know, a bit about how to do flyer designs or promotion. So it's been a really good learning experience for everyone, I think.
That is great. That is awesome.
Yeah, it really is, and it gives a chance to kind of help out again, you know, help promote these really awesome musicians, you know, in another way. First, bring them on the show, and then give them some, you know, stage time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that we've met that I've really been really impressed to know, really honored to know, is Mike Boston. And Ramel, please take it from there because you know Mike really well. You guys are been friends for a while, huh?
Yeah, we met a couple years ago. Mike mm-hmm. Boston is a local rapper. He's got a very interesting story. I think he grew up in a rough neighborhood in Dorchester, Mattapan area, and, got in trouble and with the law and then kind of reformed himself and has been doing a lot of positive things in the community to stop violence in the inner city. And he actually won some sort of scholarship or grant to meet President Clinton. Down in South Africa, he met Nelson Mandela, and his album is called From Prison to President. So he's a very positive, I would say, in the community. And we've gotten we've had the fortune of Max booking our shows, my group and Mike Boston's group, perform a few shows together, and that was really kind of an honor.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, I think one of the things that, and you know what, Mike's talent definitely runs in the family because his daughters actually performed at a show that we did at the Middle East, not the, at the All Asia, And they were amazing. I mean, they were, like 8 or 7, you know?
Yeah, these two little girls, and they almost stole the show if they didn't.
They really did. And in fact, a couple of my friends were there, and they're not really, like, big hip-hop fans, but even they were amazed. They're like, oh, my God, these girls are great.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall from the tree there.
Definitely not. So that's the show. We've been really having a blast doing it, you know, getting to meet all these absolutely amazing people, and it's only going to keep going from here.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and we've got ourselves a new station, onregularradio.com. Check that out for all the really great shows that they do there. Definitely check out the article in the Boston Phoenix, please, because it was, you know, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Definitely goes to show the impact, the influence these guys have really made on the local entertainment scene.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, I've been doing the show with Charlie for a while here, and I'm like we've said before, and you guys even said we've done an amazing job, man. It's been awesome for me, learning how to get to do this stuff and all that. So I'm just happy to hear that you guys are doing so well as well.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour show, which is really an endurance test for us, I think, to kind of keep the energy high and keep it going. But the best thing is Ramel and I, we make a really awesome team. You know, we're always making, like, the jokes back and forth, you know. Kind of, it might sound like we're being a little harsh, but, you know, it's all in that good fun. We're just kind of clowning around, having a blast. And the guests are always good for it, too. They always like to kind of, you know, have you laughs, you know, have a little fun. And, you know, we're not, like, we try to be informative, but at the same time, we try to be kind of chill, too. So we're not some dry little show. We're not some dry little news show.
And that's,
you know,
just
try,
like our show, but
yeah,
we try to do the same for our show. I mean, I don't know if you've heard our show before.
Oh, yeah, I have, yeah.
But we try to do the same. I mean, Max, you should... And forgive me if I mix up the names there, because it's like... I didn't even put in my little tab, because I do most of the background work, and Charlie does most of the upfront work, if you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get you.
So I usually do this. She usually does the show while I'm sitting here, and I chime in here and there
mm-hmm.
when I find something that I'm interested in chiming in about. So, and Papa Sola, jump in here. I mean, you're
part
of this.
I think you guys do a great job with the show all the time. I mean, I love listening to it, and I think that, you know, the guest that she has on is incredible. I think the both of you are doing a great job with it. It always takes a team, and I think that I'm just glad that, you know, I met Charlie. Charlie is an excellent lady. She's an extraordinary woman herself, and she's always bringing on someone inspirational. She always takes an ear to, you know, others' craft and their talent, and she's always very encouraging. And, you know, I just think it's really, really good to be a part of something like the band we got here, Blackout. They're always, you know, meeting new people, always trying new things and just kind of helping people to, you know, become a part of what they have going on to share that. You know, am I right, Blackout?
Pretty much, yeah.
And that's why what I'm trying to do is when she does this every so often, I'm trying to make myself more comfortable in doing interviews and stuff, even though I have people to help me here, like Papa Soul, which I'm grateful for, but there have been times where it's like I get stuck. So it's like it's so awesome to have such great people like yourselves who have done this for a while, and it just helps me out to get more comfortable on what I'm doing. So I'm just thankful for you guys to and hear your great successes.
Oh, yeah,
and it's
course,
so
no.
awesome to hear.
Yeah,
thank
definitely.
You,
yeah, thank you, man. I think, you know, one of the best examples of the kind of synergy that we have. Last week, one of our guests was a little late calling in, So Mel and I, we're just kind of going back and forth. And, of course, we were joined that day by the wonderful Sarah Sparks, who, you know, is a, you know, radio veteran herself. She's been doing shows for a while now, I think, right, Ramel?
Yeah.
And, you know, so one of our guests, he was with Big Time Wrestling. He was a little calling in, so we're just kind of chiming back and forth on just our own, like, you know, wrestling loves and whatnot, all different stuff we've seen. But it's that kind of, I think, ability to just jump in and say, okay, we're just going to bounce around here just talking, you know. So it's like,
yeah.
there's no dead air. There's no awkward pause. It's just, you know, the show must go on, so keep it going, keep it going.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is make sure that I don't cause any lengthy pauses myself, which I know I'm doing a good job. And,
yeah, you are.
You're doing good.
And
I'm looking at the website. I'm looking at the website here, Blackout, and I see that you guys are doing some work with organizers of Queer Women in Music and the cast and crew of the hit dark comedy The Joneses and the band Brief Awakening. I like dark comedies. How did you guys meet?
Well, actually, I've been working with our local film for the past 3 or 4 years. Actually, longer than I've been doing the show for. And The Joneses was a film that I had worked on shortly after I moved to Boston. And I worked on that for something like 6 months or a year. It was a long time and a lot of fun. And when the time came for us to expand the show's format into a little more local entertainment realm, I said, I got to get these guys on because they were just about to premiere at the Boston International Film Festival. And we had them on for a while. We talked and talked and talked. And it was a really awesome time. And, you know, one of the things I love about the local film scene is, again, the sheer dedication, because these guys don't make any money off this. They really bust their butts to get themselves to these festivals, and it's all about, you know, getting that promotion, getting them out there, in the hopes that they get picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a film writer, what type of films do you generally like draw towards? What interests you?
Honestly, all kinds of films. I mean, comedies I'm a little more picky on, but past that. Film-wise, I like everything.
So why picky about the comedies?
I don't know, honestly. Honestly, man, I really do not know. It's just, you know, for comedy, it's always been, for me, comedy has always been just, you know, like, some of it I like, some of it I don't. I kind of really everything.
Yeah, it really is. Comedy really is a person's own taste, really. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I totally understand that.
Yeah. I mean, I love, like, the big dumb action films of, like, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I love horror films.
I just checked out Thor. And before that, I saw Fab Five. They were great. Love action movies.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, Ramel and I just saw Thor ourselves last weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, it was, Ramel, please sum it up for me, please.
The movie Thor?
Yeah. Please, sum that one up for me.
Let's just say there were good effects.
Yeah.
Effects were definitely good
effects. Yeah, there was definitely, like, smashing galore in that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you guys are sound like you're really excited and you like to stay active. I mean, like, I like to ask questions like, just what's the first thing that comes in your mind when you wake up in the morning?
Ramel, you go ahead, man.
Girls.
I like that.
That's awesome.
Good answer.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna go along with that one, because definitely girls. First thing I think about when I wake up.
Oh yeah. I can imagine.
Okay.
Plenty of those at the show, right? Plenty of those at the show.
Exactly. So it's kind of nice, because when we go to shows, you know, we're not just there kind of, you know, we're dedicated to enjoy the music, but we're also kind of working a bit too. You know, we're handing out the business cards, chatting up with the bands, and chatting with the girls too, if we can, you know?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really.
So the energy that you guys get on stage, the type of energy that you get. It must be amazing, right? It must be, you know, just wow, right?
Ramel, man, this one's all you, man. You're the performer extraordinaire here.
Performer extraordinaire, Ramel. Tell me about the energy you guys get on stage.
You feed off the energy from the crowd. Even when they're not into it, that just motivates me more to be more emotional about the music and to throw myself more into it. Whether the crowd's reacting or not, you're going to get a powerful punch from the anti-theory.
Exactly. I mean, I've had the pleasure of seeing him perform a few times, and, you know, he always puts such heart and soul into the music, you know. So whether he's got a crowd of 2 or 2,000, you know, it's always the same kind of show, the same level of professionalism, the same level of just energy that he puts into it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures on the site, and everyone looks like they're full of passion, and it looks like, man, you wish you were there. So I can definitely go with you on that, definitely.
Yeah, man. In fact, Ramel's working on some new music, right, Ramel?
Yeah. Me and my partner, collaborator, ODI,
we're
working on some new music. Thinking about how to release it in this new digital age.
Yeah.
So constantly our options.
The new age, huh?
Yeah, it changes everything. It changes everything. So I know some people who are just saying, forget about CDs. They're just strictly going to, like, the iTunes, the CD Baby, the Bandcamps, because it seems CDs are just kind of on the way out the door or just kind of fading a little bit.
Yeah.
I got some CD Baby stuff myself.
Yeah. That is so awesome. So you write the films, and he does the soundtrack.
Exactly. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. No. Ramel's the audio. I'm the visual. You know. But you know. I mean, Ramel puts himself in every single interview we have. He puts his all into it. You know. It may be a guest that, you know, I've gone for the show, but he puts everything into it. You know. He does the research. He does the homework. He brings so much more to the table than I could ever do alone.
It's great to have a dynamic duo like that. It's really great to have a dynamic duo and partnership like that. You do get a whole lot more done. You can be a force by yourself, but with the right team, you can be a movement. So that's, I feel you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And I gotta say, in terms of being able to get to get up on stage, Ramel, I know how you do it, man. I can never do that.
It's very nerve wracking. I'll say that it can be. You're pretty nervous.
Yeah, it really can. I got, you know, like, I see him on stage, I think, okay, I think I would get past maybe one note and just drop. I would be absolutely terrified.
If we could have you on stage at one point, get you to freestyle a little bit.
Okay, you know what? I can do that, but I got to be, like, blindfolded, okay? Because if I see the crowd, I'm gonna just drop. I'm gonna say, okay, everyone, and then just pass out from sheer fear.
Wow. That is awesome.
It's one thing to do things like, you know, on the radio, because I don't have to actually see the, you know, thousands of listeners we have. But if I think I'm on stage and see them all, I don't know. That's a different story.
Yeah, I don't like stages myself, because I freeze right up. up on that one.
Yeah. How's it going, everybody? And then just collapse to the ground without a word.
I almost fell off stage one time. It can really be an experience.
Almost fell off stage, man. How'd that happen?
Oh man, I was doing my rap, right? I was climbing up this ladder, and it was this prop that was on stage. I was so into my verse, you know, spitting hot fire, as we say. And as I was doing it, I was, you know, locking eyes with this lady in the audience, of course. And so I'm trying to put on a little extra, you know, maybe I'll get a number afterwards. You know, I'm up here performing, why not give it a shot, right? So I halfway grabbed two bars from the ladder. Little did I know, it was not nailed to anything.
Oh, no.
So I was in midair. Immediately I hit the microphone with one hand and I hit the ladder with the other. And I luckily caught my grip, but fortunately, even though I didn't get the girl's number later, I didn't miss a word in my rap. So the show went on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, that's
that
just
is so
awkward.
Awesome. Yeah, I know.
Down I go.
Yep. I've had some close calls myself because I've done a few performances for groups myself, and I've had a few close calls in my wheelchair myself, and it's too close for comfort, shall I say.
Yeah.
Especially about 2 or 3 feet up in the air on a stage, or 5 feet, however high they put the stage. Oh, my goodness. You talk about slipping on the edge of the stage.
Oh,
believe
no.
Me, being in a wheelchair, that ain't fun.
No, definitely not.
Because even though it may be 20 pounds, but still, 20 pounds can hurt.
Oh, yeah.
If you end up falling. I mean, I've ended up going head over tea kettle and backwards, and believe me, I haven't even had fun just trying to get out from the wheelchairs. That's an experience and a half.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
when you're buckled in and it's on top of you.
Oof.
Believe me. So,
I
can relate about falling off stages, believe me. And sometimes I'm not even on a stage and I still end up tipping or something. So I can definitely relate.
I have this paranoid fear that if I ever get up on stage, I'm going to trip over the cords and go tumbling right off.
Yeah, and that's when you watch out for what you're under and stuff.
Well, that's the thing that I've always wondered, and Romel, I want to ask this question of you, man. You know, you're always moving around so much on stage. How do you not trip on something?
Yeah. Make sure there's nothing there.
Well, there's that, yeah.
That's
the obvious answer, yeah. I mean, I just think, like, okay, we got the mic stands, we got the cords. I'm going to fall on something.
Especially with all the wires that are running around the stage.
I do tap the cord a little bit to make sure it's not in my way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad.
You just got to be aware of it, I guess, right? You got to be kind of like, have your eyes open on that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
That is awesome.
It really is. It really is. You know, and you know, I mean, one of the nice things about doing all these shows, about putting them together, is we get ourselves like our own little nightlife too. You know, like we get to, you know, help promote these musicians, and we just get to go to shows too. You know.
Oh yeah.
That is awesome.
It's a way to have really awesome, you know, nightlife and, you know, see all kinds of great people, you know, other performers that maybe aren't on stage but, you know, want to get on stage. We help them to book shows or bring them on our show. So it's like this, like, expanding web, you know. It starts out with, like, one little thing and it just kind of goes from there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into acting, too. If anyone, you know, maybe you do want to meet someone or maybe you don't, but is there anyone that you look forward to meeting that you haven't met yet in the field of entertainment or just anywhere?
That's a good question. I can't think of anyone specifically, man, I really can't think of, I mean, I can think of some you know, bands and performers that I would like to have on the show, but I really can't think of anyone like particular that I think, like, okay, we gotta have them on the show, you know, definitely. Romel, man, anyone in particular that you really want to have on the show?
Chris Rock.
I love Chris Rock. God,
okay, good one, man. I like that. That's a good one. Yeah, definitely Chris Rock.
Yeah,
definitely Chris Rock.
You could invite Chris Rock to go wash cars together, and you'd enjoy yourself because the guy's that entertaining.
Just, yeah, exactly.
I can understand.
He is a
that
very
guy.
Entertaining person.
Yeah. Speaking of celebrities, you met Dr. Oz, didn't you?
Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz?
Who? Who?
Who's that question towards?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you met Dr. Oz.
No.
Okay, any of you been to Oz? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think so. I had some weird dreams. I don't think I've ever been to Oz. Not quite yet.
Okay. Well, that's cool, man. I'm glad you guys... Glad you guys have some people that you want to meet. I can think of a few people, you know, that I want to meet. Eddie Murphy may be a guy that I'd like to meet.
Eddie Murphy, yeah. He's kind of cool to have on.
Yeah.
I think if I could have one band on the show, above all others, you know, that's one band that I'm a huge fan of would be Fear Factory.
Oh, yeah.
They're not local, unfortunately, but they're a really awesome band. I've been a fan of them for years, so we'd definitely love to have Fear Factory on the show.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say this, and, you know, you can say what you want. I don't care. The Insane Clown Posse. I would love to have them on the show sometime because they're awesome.
Yeah, I love the mixed reviews that they get also. I love that.
Oh, God,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't bring any soda into the studio.
No Faygo, huh? Ah, damn.
Oh, yeah.
No drinks in the booth, huh?
Yeah, well, it's a little flexible in there, you know? It's a little flexible.
But Romeo. No, go ahead.
No, this Mountain Man. If you want to ask Romeo a question, go ahead, because I was going to ask if any of you want to give a shout-out to anybody. And because the time just flew.
Yeah.
I can't believe
that.
How much the time has flown.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. You got him out, man.
Oh, okay, you're out. Go ahead, then.
No, I don't got nothing.
No, I thought somebody had a question there.
Okay. So, shout-outs? You want to do some shout-outs, Romeo?
Why don't you go first, Max?
Okay, big shout-out, of course, to all the guys over at Unregulated Radio. Dave Crespo, John Loftus, Dex, you know, guys have been amazing to us. I'm probably forgetting a couple people. Matt, he's been really awesome to us too, helping us kind of like learn the boards, learn all the different tricks. Of course, to Curtis Hughes, Plexan Entertainment. He couldn't be with us tonight, but he's a great co-host, and we look forward to the next time he's going to be coming on the show. Oh, geez. big shout out to everyone who's going to be at our show on the 21st. Bullet Breed, Hagen's Heroes, Protean Collective, Rising Up Angry, Strip 9, all those guys. I'm looking forward to the show, guys. It's going to be really awesome. Jeez. I do all day. Romel, man, your turn. Shout outs.
Just send a shout out to my mom listening at home.
Yep.
Just kidding.
That is so awesome.
I'm good. Thanks,
awesome.
Guys.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys. You
thanks
guys
you,
were awesome.
Keep doing it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Can we do one more quick thing? Be sure to check out Citywide Blackout. We're on 6 p.m. live every Saturday on unregularradio.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter, on Reverb Nation. Romel, hit him with the site, man.
citywideblackout.blogspot.com.
Yeah, that's right. We can, and you can actually see some videos of me, you know, showing off my ridiculous dance skills.
Wow. All
right, looking forward to the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, and you guys have a great night.
You too,
man.
Thanks again, man. Take care of yourselves.
All right. Bye-bye.
Care. Bye. Bye. All right, Mountain Man.
Wow. That just flew by.
Yeah, it did.
Flew by.
The show usually does, yeah. Pretty awesome show, man. I had a great time. Yeah. We have any more guests coming on?
Yeah, we've got for our second hour, we've got the great David, and I'm going to mess his name up. And I apologize to David Necrona.
Okay.
And we've got some amazing guests, and they'll be calling in. Let's see. We've got somebody else coming in. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Steve McKender. How you doing, Mountain Man?
Steve, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Steve?
How you doing?
I'm
not
Papa's
bad,
home.
Not bad.
Good.
We've got this great Steve with us this evening. An awesome guest that we've had.
I think Z's calling in here in about, should be about a minute here.
Well, you guys were awesome last week. The great Steve and Z were on last week, and we just had an awesome time. So we decided to have them back this week, which is
awesome. For having us, yeah. Yeah, we'd like to tonight we would really wanted to concentrate on this new concept that we've got going with this reality TV show called Big Dreams. And we think it's going to be a really breakthrough hit because even though it's in the same kind of genre that there's weight loss, we're going to focus on something totally different in that vein and try to focus on three different phases that are kind of different from all the ones that you see out there right now. So we're kind of excited.
Well, if you could just hold on to that thought 1 second.
Sure.
I'm just going to give the numbers out real quick. So if
sure.
people are trying to remember the numbers to call in on, they are 1-347-989-1473. And if you incur a toll charge, you can call us at 1-877-907-7217 for those of who want to call in, say hi, any comments, queries, questions, whatever. You can call into those numbers, or you can check us out on the Blog Talk Radio /Ordinary Woman, and listen to the show that way. If you also have a smartphone, you can hit the app for the Blog Talk Radio and listen to us that way. And that is awesome. Thanks, Steve. In case Z is listening, I wanted to remind her about the numbers so that way she can call in stuff.
All right. Sounds good. So, how have you been this week?
I haven't been too bad. I'm holding up good here. I'm holding up good. Packing because I am in the process of moving. So I've been doing good. I'm getting tired. A lot of packing and stuff. So.
Yeah, moves are always tough. Moves are always tough. But anyway, if
yes.
you would like to jump back into that thing, the premise of it will probably be more focused on a documentary-style reality weight loss TV series. You know, a lot of the genre that we're seeing out there right now is a lot of character-driven things, per se. Like, there's a lot of them out there. I don't want to name any names. But the way we'd like to approach it is kind of almost like a behind-the-scenes, and actually focus on people that have already lost substantial amounts of weight. Of course, all three of our producers, Christian Lucas, Z Zarbuck, and myself, have lost vast amounts of weight ourselves, so we kind of know what's all encompassed in it. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. And there's a lot of fears and triumphs and emotions and struggles that go on even as you're losing the weight. So that's kind of one of the phases that we like to focus on. Of course, another phase would be kind of my side with the inspirational and the motivational stuff, you know, me trying to help and reach out to others like I have in the last year or so, and trying to help other people, you know, realize that they could cure themselves through from obesity and chronic illness if they maybe try to focus a little more on whole food nutrition as a first line of defense to disease instead of the way this medical society and the healthcare system seems, or I like to call it sick care system, seems to be treating people. And I think I think we have to start thinking completely different in regards to major chronic illnesses like cancer and heart disease, and especially this global pandemic of obesity now. I mean, when you're growing 20 million obese people in China, we've got a global problem. And this has to be approached in every single country needs to come together in this initiative. I mean, this is not just United States here. We're talking, we need a global initiative to tackle this illness, global illness, and chronic illness problem. And let's face it, we've got the best drugs across the world, and they aren't doing the job that they're designed to do. And I found out from my own experience by getting away from chemicals, relying more on God and more on Mother Nature, how I have basically cured chronic illness and dropped 360 pounds in less than 2 years. This is it can be done by absolutely anybody. And and I don't know why. Well, I do know why. I know why, because we've got people like the FDA in control of our food and our drugs, and that's the problem. Is we need to, if we want to redo healthcare the way we should, and I know Obama's trying to do it, but it's going to take more than what he's trying to do, because you need to totally overhaul the FDA. I mean, you can't have an administration that's in charge of our drugs is the same administration that's in charge of our food, because let's face it, they're using us as guinea pigs with the drugs, and only 3% of our food is getting inspected. So something is wrong in this country. You know, I mean, 85% of the food comes from across the globe, but only 3% of it gets inspected. And, you know, if you start to look at all these chronic illnesses that the kids have now with all these food allergies, autism, ADHD, all these major, major illnesses, and that have only really kind of exponentially cropped up in the last 20 years, and then you realize that the way the people are eating and the Western diet is what they're eating and feeding on, just think about it. Because I always thought maybe there was a little environment-related stuff in there, but it can't be, because environments are changing and their environments are different in every country. And in fact, in this country, our environment here in the Northeast is completely different than the environment in Arizona. So it can't be environment. It's got to be our food and our water. And when I started focusing on safe foods, which is...
All right, if you could just hold
organic,
that thought 1 second.
All right.
Steve, I just got two other calls I need to...
All right.
Because I know Z's on one of them, and
right,
I have two of them on hold. So let me bring them both. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's
Z is here?
Z, and who's the other one?
You got Jeff here.
Hi, Jeff.
Jeff and Z. Okay,
hey,
we got them all
doing,
on.
Buddy?
All right,
how about
Steve. I apologize. I was just trying to make sure I got everybody here. So,
how's it going, guys?
Right,
and lady,
how you doing there?
Good.
And we got Papa Soul on with us as well as my assistant this evening.
Yeah, Steve, I think that's really interesting, the way that you're passionate about, you know, improving your health and everything. And I agree with a lot of things that you're saying as far as we have to watch our diet and we have to watch our, you know, our health. I recently started to eat a lot more healthy myself, you know, just started incorporating things that are more organic in my diet and watching the big three issues.
A little ahead.
As you referred to, The sugar, the fat, and the sodium. Absolutely.
Oh, I know. And yeah. And you know, when I met Dr. Oz last year, that's one of the things he focused on in his lecture. And you know, because I mean, Americans per se, when you talk about an average, they consume vast amounts of more sugar than they should in a day. Up to ten teaspoons, I think, a day. And then sodium, somewhere between 3.5 to 4 times the sodium. And it's not hard to do when people start relying on processed foods. Because, I mean, just this gentleman that Z went and walked with in Iowa just this last weekend, this man was in excess of 600 pounds. He has now dropped 100. He's on his way towards health. His name is George Chaplin. We call him Chappie on YouTube. So walkwithchappie on YouTube. You can check him out. He goes on daily walks, and he does these chats. And we had just met up about a week or so ago, and he happened to be out there, and she was walking. What do you tell him about it, Z?
Yeah, I just happened to have to go to Des Moines and decided to connect with him and was really impressed. He has tremendous support from his family. He comes from a line of obese people. He was telling me his grandmother used to be 600 pounds, and she walked off 300 of it and has maintained it for quite some time. And he was given a year to live and decided to do something about it, and he just started walking, putting one foot in front of the other, and he's still doing it. And he's relocated from one place in Iowa to Des Moines recently and is kind of getting a fresh start and is looking forward to inspiring a bunch of people around Des Moines. And his mother,
yes,
his father,
has,
his wife,
also,
brother.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
No, his mother, father, wife, brother, sister-in-law, and 3 kids were all out there walking, and they do this as a family all the time. So it's and they all carry cameras and film everything. So it's really turned into quite a cool thing, and it was really neat to be a part of that. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one of the fears or new fears that he's had and he's expressed to me was that move to Des Moines because of the inundation of the fast food industry in a major city like that. You know, when they were living way out further out in the country, they didn't quite, they didn't have this fast food industry totally surrounding them. You know, it's one of the weird things that even I, here being in New England the last 3 weeks, I kept mentioning, you know, it's near the Boston area, and all you see is Irish pubs and Dunkin' Donuts. You know, they're like everywhere. It's like a major epidemic up here. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but you know, it's not probably all good. But yeah, it's that fast food, and you know, you turn on the TV and you see it right there. It's in your face. And then you also see the drugs. You know, you can't turn on TV and within 30 seconds see a drug commercial. And I almost think it's almost like an indoctrination of the people, you know. And so when they got a symptomatic care, or you know, when they have a symptom, they go to the doctor, and that's exactly what happens. They just feed into that system. And I think I even think the doctors themselves need more nutritional information. And I'm telling you, I've talked to dozens of doctors that will actually admit this to me. Now, there's the majority of them out there probably wouldn't. They're people exactly what I'm saying right now, but
Steve, here's what gets me. When you look at those commercials with the medicine and everything, the symptoms, the side effects are dangerous.
Could cause death, could cause dementia, could cause you to kill your mother-in-law. I mean, I don't know, but
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they are, and the problem is that every single one of them have a side effect, every single one.
Yeah.
I mean, even aspirin has side effects. So, you know.
Yeah, not just one, but several.
Yeah, I know. And then, see, that's my problem because that's how they medicate obesity. And I was up to 10 different medications. So you can imagine you're getting all those side effects from each one. But now you're getting cross side effects from all the other ones. And I just happen to have 2 that shut my kidneys down. Now, if I hadn't stopped them immediately after I saw a specialist, I'd have been dead. So, you know, that I had to have that kind of rude awakening in my own life to kind of shock me out of that medicated system. But I think we're so caught and indoctrinated in that now, we're borderlining on danger, really.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you guys had on some great issues last week that really opened my eyes, and it just blew my mind away because Steve, I think it is.
Yeah, you're right.
I've got so many things in my mind here, and I apologize for that, but it's just. You blew my mind away last week, and I just was, like, overwhelmed with a lot of the information and stuff that you were giving me.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here. I'm in a wheelchair, okay? I know I'm overweight, okay? And I'm
right.
not afraid to admit it because I know I am.
Right.
And I'm just was sitting there last week. I'm like, wow, you just absolutely blew my mind totally away. I'm just like, we have to have him back on. And I even talked to Charlie after the show, and I told her that we've got to get him back and stuff and continue on with the conversation that we were having last week. And
yeah.
It's just amazing. Your story is just so amazing. And I just really want to keep on that topic if we can. And I know we are on the topic, but you just absolutely blew my mind away with that.
Well, thanks for saying that. Yeah. But let's talk just a little bit, and we're going to give ourselves a little bit. I'll let Z talk about that. And Z, let's talk about that Big Dreams concept that you have.
Well, I started out as a filmmaker, oh gosh, maybe almost 10 years ago, and I've always had a big interest in documentary. And, in fact, my very first film as an adult was a documentary. And I've been trying to figure out how to fund documentary because it's so difficult, and I was thinking a lot about it, and the concept just came from the universe one day about this, that there's so many shows about weight loss out there, the struggles and the pains, and that they're not very pretty, most of
mm-hmm.
them. And I got to thinking, gee, but, you know, we don't really see too much about what happens after. We get, you know, the final 45 seconds, and that's about it. And,
mm-hmm.
So I started thinking that this was a really important thing to do, and it, for us, it's not about being skinny or making that goal of getting rid of the last 10 pounds or looking great. It's not about that at all. It's about whatever amount of weight it took to change your life. And if you were 600 pounds and now you're 300, you may still be morbidly obese, but your life is going to be a heck of a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're 200 pounds and you lose 50, you're in the same boat. Your life is going to be different. And so we're looking for those folks who've done that. We're looking for those folks who want to get there. And we're looking for folks who have dreams that they're accomplishing and maybe ones they haven't been able to yet and maybe ones they haven't even thought of.
Right.
So
yep.
We're trying to inspire a lot of folks to step outside their own box that they've put themselves into
right.
from obesity and to live in a way that
they hadn't had a chance to do before.
That maybe they had never had the chance, or maybe they had forgotten at one time.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I mean, Steve, you just
process of reliving the life that you always dreamed you thought you could have. I mean, that's basically what I'm living right now. I mean, I'm living the way that I was probably supposed to live if I wouldn't have had all the different conditions with hormones and all these other things. It caused me the addiction and all that bad stuff that caused me to get to the place I was.
But, Steve,
and
you couldn't have imagined this, could you, what's happening?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
not
that's kind of my
that
point.
Initially yeah. I mean, that's why the whole premise has become itself a big dream for us, is to try to get this show to a national point, because I think it could have such huge ramifications in this country. It could alter the way we think about health and
mm-hmm.
maybe get this country turned around and headed in the right direction again, because quite frankly, obviously, we haven't been in a while. And we're sick. We're collectively sick as a nation. We're sick economy-wise. We're sick health-wise. And I think if we all could concentrate on health more, we could get this country more prosperous and back to a place of superiority like we've always claimed that we are. And I think it starts with our health. And somehow in this country, we've kind of put our health on the back burner. I mean, not all of us collectively, but you can see the numbers that keep raising and the problem that's happening. People have kind of given up on themselves. And you can see by me, if you just take simple lifestyle changes, apply them and stick to them. And that's the biggest thing. You got to believe in yourself and you got to stick to them for a while, because people give up too easily. And you got to start with giving your mind and your body the right nutrients. And it's not through stuff that is in a bag or in a jar or that kind of stuff. It's like what God grows. It's like a red pepper. It's like an avocado. It's like a banana. It's like blueberries, nuts, and seeds, and that kind of stuff. You know, and people ask me for tips, and I say, you know what, the biggest tip you can do is you shop around the perimeter of the grocery store. You don't even go in those aisles in the middle, because that's where all the crap is. You stay around the outside. And if you can and you can afford it, and that's the problem. You see, nobody can really afford purely organic. I mean, I've gone broke in less than 2 years doing it. And my credit is gone. They call a dozen times a day. I've been on up here working in 3 weeks, and my phone goes off a dozen times a day from Capital One because they want their money, but I don't have it. But I've saved my life doing it. So I figure, you know what, I'll get to the point where I can pay you back. But right now, my investment is in my health and my life. And I've changed it within just 2 years. I've completely turned it around. And I think anybody in this country can go from bedridden to where I am in a short time if they apply themselves.
I think that's just amazing the way that you have turned your life around and how you've lost like over 300 pounds and how you've made a complete lifestyle change that allows you to live the life you, as she said, you could have not even imagined before. I also wanted to mention that you said you were at a point where you had almost given up, but you mentioned how, you know, God helped you get through it. And part of changing to something better, you relied on your faith in God. And that could be one of the most powerful tools.
You have to have the faith, and he will give the faith for you to believe in yourself as well. And I mean, you need that. And like I keep saying, if we want to have quantum wellness, complete wellness, you're going to have it in all three phases, and that's mind, body, and spirit. And you can't get perfect balance unless you got all three of those. And that spirit involves any spirit you wish to believe in, but you've got to have that nurturing of all three phases, but it's got to start with them. And that's that book that I read, that Change Your Brain, Change Your Body by Dr. Daniel Amen. And that's what he said. He said, no matter what it is, you got to start with nurturing and nourishing your mind. And everything else will happen from there on. And I don't care if it's weight, disease, or whatever, but you got to get your mind right before you start applying, you know, the right things to it. And a lot of people, that's why we fail, is because we got all the great purposes. We got all these intentions. You know, that's why we all go, you know, it's the same old thing. In New Year's, everyone makes the resolution, you know, and they go and they apply it. And I could see that just from the why this last year. You go on, in January, you can barely get in the gym. The place is just slam-packed with people. People are joining left and right. Well, you get there about March, and that place is empty again. It's just like the same old people that usually go there are there, and the place is emptied out again. Because within 3 months, seems like 75% of America has just given up again. They're like, okay, forget it. And
exactly.
I think that's what we are. Yeah.
I mean, up here in the winters, I mean, like I said last week, I am in a wheelchair, and went to our heart for me. And just talking with you last week, Steve and Z, you guys just really have opened up my eyes and made me look. And I'm like, okay, I need to continue this. How can I continue this? Because you guys really opened my mind. And I'm like, I really need to hear the story and really understand what you guys are really trying to say here, because it's like, it's amazing. It's like, I definitely want to lose the weight I have, but you're right. And Jeff put it really straight out there, and people just don't know how to change. And it's just like, he's right. It's like, I've been trying to change, but it's, I don't know how to. And believe me, I've had Charlie helping me. I've had many people helping me. But there have been times where, why should I? And hearing you guys last week and hearing you guys again tonight just is making it more helpful to me to want to change.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody has, I thought you were done.
Nope. Go ahead, Z.
Everybody has a different key, I think, that will unlock that potential. I mean, look, I'm 56 years old. I've been fat since I was 5. My highest weight, I was within a few pounds of being 400 pounds. I did not have in me or could not find in me what Steve found in him to do what he did. For whatever reason, I don't know. Maybe I just never found the right key. But I was, my back was against the wall with disease issues. And the only route that I had left to me was to have gastric bypass surgery. Now, it's not for everybody. But like I said, I'm 56 years old now. And I probably wouldn't have been here in a couple of years had I not gone that route. And it has completely changed my life in completely unexpected ways. I was talking with a friend last night about seeing myself in the mirror. And 6 months ago, I've maintained my weight now at about 195 for 6 months. I still would like to lose some more weight, but I've been stable for about seven months. 6-7 months ago, I thought I was looking really good. but now I saw myself on video the other day, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's so much junk in the trunk. I do not look good. And she says, oh, it's those old things coming back. I said, no, it's not at all. I said, when I used to be 400 pounds, I thought I looked pretty good. And what's happening to me, I realized after discussion, was I'm waking up. I've been asleep at the wheel.
I guess that's where I'm stuck myself.
I am waking up to realize what's quote-unquote normal for a human body. And I never saw that. And I was talking to Steve the other day. You know, years ago, I'd get to the point where I'd have to buy a bigger size pair of pants, but it just had never registered with me.
Yeah,
I was
asleep at the
wheel. I just do it.
Yeah, me too. You know, you just think that, okay, well, it's just I got a little bigger and it's just another size. But then it goes to another size, and you just kind of go on, and you're just like, you don't really, it doesn't register or something.
No, it doesn't
register. No, it doesn't.
A lot of times when we find something that we really are driven in doing, it allows us or it causes us to focus more, and then we'll pay attention.
Yeah.
I mean, to make it even simpler, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you have something, a priority or a task at hand to do, like if you have to make dinner that evening or something like that, you'll make sure you get the things done that lead up to you making that dinner. Like you'll make sure you go to the store, you'll just make sure you have the right ingredients. You'll take care in those things. So when you have a focus,
right,
things tend to fall in line a lot better. It's the same way with our health. When we have something that we're focused on that we want to be productive in, or when we feel a sense of purpose, a lot of times that drives us to be more in tune with those three things that Steve mentioned that we should always take care of, and that's mind, body, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the way that one of our people in our chat room, you're right. Some people are afraid of eating fast food and stuff. So it's like, I mean, I guess my question is, what is your thought on that one, Steve?
What's that? The fast food?
Fast food.
Well, it's a part of our life, isn't it? I mean, I don't even think we could get away with it, or get away from it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we keep thinking about, like, I mean, let's face it, this nutrition and organic movement has been growing, and if you look at anything and look back in just 10 years, how fast it's come, and it's becoming part of the mainstream in a small way, but it's permeating itself, and it keeps continue to do so. It's a shame that our government keeps trying to put constraints on it and tries to keep it small, because they know, and or actually big corporations like Monsanto and Big Agra know that it's growing, and they don't want that to happen, because they know that there's actually something to safe foods. And I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but I do want to sound that it's the bottom line is money, okay? So these people, like when it comes to genetically modified foods, which is in almost 70, I was just reading an article this morning on that 70 to 80% of our foods, processed foods now, have some kind of genetically modified objects in there. Now that is frightening to me, because now you were talking about most of the processed foods that these people are eating has science injected into it. And then again, that's where I say we need to start thinking simple, pure, unadulterated food. And so much, when you start to think about the ramifications of this salmon, this frankenfish stuff, that their Aqua Bounty company is actually producing as we speak, they're trying to get this stuff passed where it will be on our shelves. And you're interjecting science into nature, and I don't think it's right. I think we're going to end up with some very sad ramifications from that in the future.
But they're also injecting psychology into it.
Yeah.
I was forced, going through gastric bypass, to give up fast food in advance of the procedure by a couple of months, or they wouldn't do the surgery. And I thought, oh my God, how am I ever going to do that? But I really was dedicated to this, and I gave it up. And you know what? I can't stand fast food. I think it's addictive. I think it's been packaged, sold, advertised, added to, blah, 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 that makes you crave it. And I can promise you, if you can get off of it, you're going to hate it.
Yes, it is. And you know what? That's
you're gonna
exactly,
want
we can go back
food.
To Dr. Oz, because Dr. Oz said the same thing. And that's one of the most actually frightening parts of his lecture, is that he frankly said that the fast food and all this permeated chemicalized stuff that you read on these labels acts like a pure drug, just as addictive as cocaine or heroin, and it's just as hard to give up. And when I get all these stories, because I was inundated with my first stories when it came out, and these people keep saying that my kid is addicted to soda and addicted to fast food, and they can't stop it, and it's like a drug, and cannot stop eating it.
Mm-hmm.
He said it acts like neurotoxins in the brain, and so it's almost like a mild form of poison, but it's tricking the brain and giving the brain the same kind of pleasurable sensations that these harmful drugs do. They make you think you feel good. They give you this kind of pleasure sensation for a while, but then it quickly goes away, and you crave more. And it's a vicious cycle that these people are in. Now, I mean, this chappy admitted to me, this guy from Iowa, he was drinking, and this is going to astound you, but he drank 6 to 7 2-liter bottles of soda a day.
Wow.
Okay, anybody that drinks that much soda is going to gain a vast amount of weight in a very, very short time. It's just unbelievable what HFCs can do. And the problem is it's made from corn. And corn, guess what? Genetically modified. So when you start to put all those two and two together and you start to see there's a chemical revolution in this company, and I keep saying we need a revolution of evolution. And we need a change because, listen, our country is changing, and we're not changing along with it. Our laws aren't changing. We rely on antiquated laws. Our Congress needs to be evolutionized as well. I mean, we need to just start thinking and changing along with the times, and we're so complacent, and we just want to stay steadfast in our ways. But if we do that, I'm telling you, obesity will crumble the healthcare system. In another 10 years, you won't even believe what will happen. And we're in a bad situation as it is right now. I don't want it to get to that problem. And we can get a hold of this obesity problem in that same 10 years if we change now. But we have to change now.
You said something very important in what you wrote on your page, too, Steve. You said that we have to stop looking at food as a way of solace and comfort and have to start getting real and using it for what it really is for. You know, we wouldn't put dirt in our car, you know, and expect it to run.
Right.
So we have to treat our bodies better than we would our machine, you know.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the illusion that doctor makes, too. You know, it's like an engine of a car. And if you got a brand new Maserati, which everyone got when, you know, God creates us, we are perfect. And it's the things that we do and the things that we don't do that corrupts our body. And so if we would try to stay in that optimum way and stay pure and simple our whole lives, we would be in perfect health. But it's those things that we put in there, and you know, like that Maserati, and you start putting this bad crap, this less than regular gas in there, almost like half and half, and you know what happens to an engine. It's just going to corrupt and break down, and that's what's happening to us. And or if you want to call it like a computer, you know, we get a virus, and that's it. An illness is a virus. I mean, I think we can live, and if we do all the right things in the right proportions, we'll end up back to a perfect optimum health state. Now, does anyone get there 100%? Maybe not. But I guarantee you, 90% of optimum health is still pretty darn good, wouldn't you say?
And bringing it back to big dreams, this is the exciting part. When you have people waking up from addiction, from intoxication of whatever's in some of this food that has us, I don't know, zombified or something.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
when that spirit wakes up in that person, they haven't even thought of the dreams yet. Some of them have because they were thin when they were younger. Myself, I was always fat, so I never had the dreams.
Yeah, me either.
Only as a very older person have I been able to even think about
that. That's why we're the producers of this show, so we get to help these people live out their dreams.
Right.
I cannot wait to see.
We're going to live vicariously through them.
I cannot wait to see. Oh, who's going to be vicarious? I'm going to be doing it right now with them, Steve.
That's right. And we are thinking of some outstanding adventures. I mean, you can imagine bungee jumping off a New Zealand bridge. Maybe possibly going up in that zero gravity airplane, you go up into that upper atmosphere. Who knows? Maybe take go with it, see? We've come up with so many different ideas.
I want to do the Sydney Harbour Bridge climb.
Oh, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
Climbing to the top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Maybe
I
want to
see an aria on the Metropolitan Opera.
Maybe going to the Great Wall of China, you know, being able to walk along the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Some of these big, big dreams that people maybe have never thought they could do, but if they lose this amount of weight and they get to a better, healthy place, they'll actually be able to live out. I mean, I think that show would be a hit, don't you?
But here's the deal. It's not about the thrill. It's not about the thrills, really. It's about opening up like a brand new flower and being able to take it all in. And
the challenge.
I went on a zip line the other day, scared to death of heights until I lost weight.
Yes,
Why am I not afraid of heights anymore? I couldn't
even
tell you.
Her knees were knocking. I can absolutely attest.
No, they weren't.
I wasn't scared at all.
I really wasn't scared.
No, she wasn't.
Jeff, you're right.
She hit that first one, and then she was a terror. She was.
They shook afterwards. They weren't shaking before.
Believe me, Z. You're not the only one who is afraid of heights, because I am. I mean, even though I'm over 300 pounds, and I'll say that openly, okay, guys. I'm over 300 pounds. I am afraid of heights. Even when I was a kid, I was still afraid of heights. For whatever reason, it is. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think
but that's
some people
one thing.
Are just naturally born that way. Yeah.
What I'm telling you, though, is I always was, too. But when I lost the weight, I lost my fear of heights. Now,
see?
Explain that one to me.
Well, some of those inhibitions go. I'm almost convinced that, yeah, it's because it's almost like a, you know, there's some kind of psychological layer that kind of gets peeled off with the weight. I know there is. Because because, you know, I could tell you, I didn't take any of these prescription medications for depression or anything. You know, and it was weird. Once the weight started coming off, it was like it was peeling that depression off at the same time. So as long as the sweat kept pouring, those tears that I used to have, they went away too. And it's weird how working your way back to health just it totally transforms you, mind and spirit, and it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah,
I want everyone to feel that.
Absolutely, because when you're not taking care of your body, your brain functionality is different. So when you begin to take better care of your health, your system functions better, and you begin to produce better overall body and mind chemistry, brain chemistry. And you, as a result, you get peace of mind. You know, so peace of mind comes along with good health and just taking care and just physically loving yourself, because it boils down to love, giving yourself the love.
Absolutely,
that's
what it is. You know, it takes, you know, and I almost remember that point distinctly, where I actually looked in the mirror, and even though I call myself the human Sharpay, you know, I'm a self-deprecator, so that's one of the first monikers. I give myself a lot of nicknames online. I got the Duke of
Blubber Depletion. Blubber Whisperer is my favorite.
The Blubber Whisperer, Sir Drop-A-Lot, the Health Minister. I am a ordained minister now. I did it online, but I am a ordained minister. I thought if I was going to call myself one, then I might as well go ahead and be ordained. But the human Sharpay was the first one I came up with, and that's kind of what I look like, you know. I look like a big old human Sharpay now, and that's the other thing, you know. Someone that was my size, by the time I'm down to my goal weight, I'm still about 50 pounds away from where I can have my skin removal surgery, and then they'll be going under the knife and try to remove probably another excess of 30 to 40 pounds in skin.
Wow.
And so by the time I'm done, I should be somewhere in that 180 to 190 range. And then I will probably want to bulk up from that a little bit, back up to 2 or so with the muscle building. Now, I had to have a great opportunity yesterday to train with a master personal trainer at the Vanderbilt Club down in Norwood. I would like to thank him, Cassius Holt, for dedicating an hour or so of his time. To me, he took me through a whole full body workout, including boxing and the Nautilus machinery. I warmed up on my normal recumbent, which, by the way, I have one at home. And I'd like to tell your listeners, anybody that's out there listening, if you want to get yourself a really great, really super strong recumbent exercise bike, if you got problems with the knees or you're a bigger person like I was, get yourself a Schwinn 240 recumbent. It's a great thing, and I know, I'm telling you, I know the weight restriction says 300, but believe me, I was on that bike a little over 300, maybe even a lot, but I'm just saying, now I do 25 miles on it, so I didn't do that yesterday, but it was just a little bit just to warm up. And
I've got a quick question after you finish your comment there, Steve. So finish that, then I'll ask the question, because it's really for everyone that's on the lines right now.
Okay. You go ahead.
The question is, if you're driving down the road and you come across a fast food joint and you smell the fries and stuff, do you guys hate the smell of fast food and stuff? Especially if
I hate the smell of it. It makes me
do. Me too. It really does. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I got my sister has a niece and a nephew, and I've got one almost talked out of it. Because that's another thing. If you guys really want to talk yourself out of fast food, I can do it really easy for you. You just guys just jump on YouTube and go type in. Or type in 4.5-year-old cheeseburger. That's all you have to do, and you will see that will convince you that what you're eating is not real. And that's all I'm going to say. You can find out for yourself. But I have a niece and nephew, and yeah, they like to go to these places, and I really seriously now, because I've been away from it and just removed from that, the smell alone can make me so nauseous that I literally have to put the window up. I mean, I have to put it down for the drive-thru, but the last time I did it, I literally held my breath. And I let her order, and then I put the window back up, and then I drove up, and I put the window back down, and I paid really quick, and I put it back up again, because that waft of that nasty oil alone is like, oh, my God.
And I'm a vegetarian, so it's even extra worse.
Wow. And I call French fries, you know, and I have to say this, French fries to me, and not only to me, but to Dr. Oz and a lot of other people out there, are the worst food in America. They just are.
Can you call them?
Death sticks. I call them death sticks. Yes,
yeah.
I do. Because I'm telling you, they are a big reason there's a lot. I mean, when you put that nasty oil and then the possibility of genetically modified potatoes to top it off with, and then that chemical reaction that happens, it's not only a heart attack, it's all kinds of things waiting to happen. It's bad, bad news. And if you want to scare yourself, type in a Google thing and statistics on how many French fries are consumed in the United States in 1 year, and that will just flat out, scare you to death.
So a follow on here again on my favorite topic, big dreams.
Right.
About the fast food. 1/3 of our show is going to be dedicated to folks like our friend Jeff here, who are still on the journey, even early on in the journey, because we're going to be able, I think, to help convince them that it's not about what you have to give up. It's about what you have to look forward to. And when you flip it like that, man, you can drive right on by that fast food place, let me tell you.
Absolutely, because there's a lot of things in life that are way more important than getting your fast food fix. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jeff? Come on, Jeff. Give us your 2 cents.
It's a struggle, and I'm in my second week home from rehab, and it's definitely a struggle and a withdrawal. And you're going through what Z said about all the positiveness that Big Dreams has brought. It just kind of blows me away because it takes the negativity, it takes all the thoughts of food, it takes a lot of it and it shows why it's worthwhile and why I can hang in there and take the baby steps when I have to and, you know, sustain and hang in there to do this thing for the long haul. But I can't look at it 6 months down the road. I have to take one step at a time.
That's
where I'm at in my journey.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
good. It's tough. I'm not going to lie to you, it's tough, but you got to look at what Steve and Z and Kirsten have done and how they've succeeded and what they're doing with their lives. And I have a 7-year-old that inspires me every day, and he's the reason that, you know, I know that I'm making this change. I came back from death about 6 weeks ago, and I went through the same thing as you did, Steve, with the kidney failure, the sepsis infection, the cellulitis. I mean, I had doctors talking about cutting off my legs.
Yeah.
And now I'm out of that, and I've lost a little weight, and it's a struggle, and I'm just looking.
That's right. You're under 600, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I was, when I went in the hospital, they said I was 630 or 624 or something like that.
Wow, and you know what? It is never too late. I am 56 years old. I am The lightest I have been since probably sixth grade. And guess what, guys? I'm a belly dancer now.
Yes, she is.
Wow.
How about
she was,
that?
She appeared live at the new cafe just about 2 weeks ago.
I'm the belly dancer in our movie, in our promotional reel.
Yeah, don't y'all have that
on
video
cool.
to show people?
Yes, www.realbigdreams.com.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can go check out our promo reel.
And that is in our chat room. And whoever mentioned Chappie, we actually have him on.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
I'm going to. Here's Chappie.
Hi, Chappie.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How you doing, Chap?
You guys, I'm doing pretty good. I was actually getting ready to head for my walk for today, and I got a message, and they said you guys are on air and gave me a shout-out, so I was like, wow, I better get over there and call in quick. So.
Walk with Chappie.
Yep, for the last few minutes. So.
Yeah, right, very cool. Last few minutes. I was just listening in to you guys talking about the fast foods and how bad it is, and
yeah, I
totally agree. That was one of the biggest things that's helped me go from, you know, 620 pounds to almost 500 pounds was cutting that fast food and, you know, getting those drinks, like soft drinks, you know, drinking those and getting that out of your diet.
Well,
and
the diet isn't any better. Diet drinks aren't any better.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's what I've been hearing, and that's what I'm definitely working on.
Yeah, and what are you drinking now, brother?
Water, man. Lots
there
and
you
lots
go,
of water.
That's right.
You know,
it is the life force, bro. 80% water.
Right.
You, because the more you drink, the more you're going to lose. And I know some people think that's crazy, but believe me, I try, and I haven't been doing it since I've been gone on my regimen, but I try to drink a gallon a day.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, if you can do that, you are going to shed pounds because it's all about flushing your system. And that's why I relied on raw stuff, too, because I think raw, first of all, you're getting the most nutrients, and the water and the rawness, it's kind of a detoxing and cleansing process that your body goes through. And and it's great because your body reacts to it, and then you end up actually craving it. And I just love being able to, you know, sometimes I can't even wait to get home from the farmer's market. I'll just take a bite of a big old red pepper. I just can't help it.
You know, before I forget, I got to say one more real important thing. I've been dying to say this. I said earlier that everybody has a different key that turns them on and wakes them up to go forward. And every day is a new day. You can be old like me when you start. You can be young. It doesn't matter. You have a new chance every day. But here's a key that might work for some people. When you are addicted to those hamburgers and french fries that are being made in such a way to keep us addicted, who are you putting the money in the pocket of? You are putting your health money in the pocket of big corporations who are thinking of ways to take your money from you. Take that back. And put that in the farmer's market. Put that in the whole.
The local
put
farmers,
that in your
right.
pocket and invest in yourself.
Yep, absolutely. Hell. And you know what everybody can do right now is they can go online and go to localharvest.org. That's localharvest.org. You can type in your zip code. That will give you a map of your surrounding area. It will give you every location of every local farm, every local farmer's market, every local CSA, which is community-supported agriculture, and co-ops, which are like combined farm initiatives where you can actually go and for way cheaper than it is to even buy at a Whole Foods or stores, you can find organics that will probably end up being 40% cheaper than a grocery store. And sometimes
and local,
you can, yeah, you can get a share for under $30, and it's a great opportunity.
I just wanted to throw something in. I heard what Z said about making an investment back into your health. But there's a lot of people out there that would say, hey, you know, that 99-cent cheeseburger is a lot easier than eating healthy, and it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think about it in the long run of health, medical costs, and putting that investment in that health food that is quite expensive on some of that food, that health food will go down in price, and those cheeseburgers will push out the door, and pretty soon, you know, all these fast food joints will be getting totally fit, you know, with fresh foods and not that junk that they
That's
got
right.
right now.
That's
and
right.
that would
it
be a great society.
The people, yeah, because it's what people demand. And the people demand
exactly.
right now are demanding bad food. But if we change our directive on this and start wanting to get better and more healthy and ask for organic
mm-hmm.
safe foods, you will see fast food restaurants that instead of selling bad stuff, you'll be going through and getting the best top quality organic stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the
that's
way
right.
we should do it. We should show the rest of the world how to get healthy. We should show the
yeah.
rest of the world and take initiatives in showing what we have to do to eradicate this problem.
Right.
Chappie,
mm-hmm.
would you tell everybody what you're doing in your community to try and get people to come out and get healthy?
Most definitely. In my community, I've done this whole walk with Chappie. It started out first being told that I had a death wish and I was going to die to getting out there and walking. And before I know it, you know, I got surrounded states and the whole Iowa walking with Chappie. We're talking a 600-pound man going into the 500 pounds and still pushing himself daily. And I put that video footage online for everybody to see, and it's inspired a lot of people. And that is one thing some people say, you know, I can't get into that gym or I can't do this. Walking is free. You can get out there and you can do this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah.
it's taking those steps. And it has done wonders for me, and I'm going to push that 500-pound mark this next month. This month, I'm working
tell,
on it.
Tell them what we got working up there, Chap. Keep going with
that's
that.
Right. It's the 15-pound challenge. Me and Steve got talking, and there's barriers with anybody. And one of those plateaus I got to was the 500-pound mark. Every time I got to it, within, I mean, less than a pound, I would always somehow bounce back up. And I'm getting through that plateau, and even Steve agreed, well, we're going to do this challenge. We're going to try to lose 15 pounds in a month, which I'm sure I'm going to push right through that, and try to motivate others to do the same thing. And even if they don't make the 15 pounds, at least that, you know, even if they lose 5 or 6 pounds, that's going to give them a start. And
that's right.
I hope it takes off from there. I really do.
Yep.
And, I just now, I finally got some T-shirts made online, and I'm going to be distributing them those through my town. I'm gonna try to host a once a month or twice a month walk at the local lake, which we did with Z for the first time, and that was very, very, very awesome.
Wow.
So did
that
you come
is
up
so
with your
awesome.
Saying? Have you already got your saying for your T-shirts, dude, bro?
I went with Be Inspired. Everything else, like I wanted it to stand out. And one of the ones I was going to go with is go, 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 no excuses. But there were so many words. And I wanted when somebody walked by or, you know, was looking, that they could, wow, what is this kid got on his shirt? And it says, Be Inspired, Walk with Chappie.
I love it.
And it shows a guy walking on a little computer and it has the address. And I'm not even trying to make a profit off of, but just to get out the word out there to be healthy and stuff, you know. And that's the change is coming, you know.
Steve,
I just know
the way
it.
You yeah. like Steve, the way you like the bicycle, you ought to go out there and hook up with Chappie and hook up with Ragbri, and
oh yeah,
some,
there you go.
Get some heavy because it's kind of a flattish state for the bicycling. And I bet you could get a ride with Chappie and Steve's section of the Ragbri if you worked on it for next year.
There you go.
Man,
I could
do
that. And if I fail, I can get a side cart.
There you go. Give me one of them side carts. There you go. Hey, remember how we custom made, man.
Guys, I can't believe how much fun we've had, and the time has just flown by.
Yeah, sure.
I've only got 90 seconds here, so I want to really thank you guys all for coming, and I appreciate everything. And we will have to have you back again. And
yeah,
Charlie
don't
will be in touch
tell
with
your
you guys.
Viewers, tell your viewers to check out our website at www.realbigdreams.com, and check out our YouTube site and also our Facebook page, Big Dreams. And, you know, just get inspired, be inspired, take that chance and make some lifestyle changes because it's all about maybe, you know, working ourselves towards a little better health, and I think we all can try to do a little better.
And if you want to see our show on TV, send people to Facebook.com/Big Dreams TV. Get them to sign up. Have them donate to our little fundraiser. We're going to rock this TV thing.
Yeah.
Well,
and the biggest one, y'all? The biggest one, follow your big dreams. It's going to happen.
All right.
Thank you all, and you guys have a great night. I've only got a few seconds left here. So you guys have a great evening.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you, Soul Papa. Thank you, Soul Papa. Thanks for everyone. You guys have a good night.
Go.
Bye-bye. So we'll go out with Baby Boy.
May 14th at 10 past 10, I got my world rocked and introduced to my best friend. At that point I realized my path to be is to be the best father I could possibly be. Then I held you for the first time, I saw in your face that you knew who I was, that you felt so safe. Make no mistake, because I felt safe too. The way you fit right in my arms, it was like face true. You're meant for great things, I could tell you gon' rise, because your eyes so alive, they as blue as the skies. I wouldn't lie, you're the reason I breathe, because you smile so bright, the sunshine that I need. Yes, you're my little man, kissing on your little hand. Listen, you my shining star, proving there's a bigger plan. You're my crown jewel, my pride, my treasure. It's me, you and your mom, we're together forever.
You're my pride and joy.
You're my life, you're my baby boy.
You're my pride and joy.
Don't be scared, when you need me, just call and I'll be right there.
You're my pride and joy.
Day I changed, the day I claimed, the best day to clear my reign. I used to be filled with just anger and pride, now it's just pride for you, no more anger inside. Between you and your mom I learned the meaning of love, the needing of hugs. Above I see the meaning of doves. Oh yes, I'll protect you and guide you from harm, and nothing's better than the feelings when I hold you in my arms. When times are hard and the clouds are gray, I see your smile and realize